Evening. So, Ephesians chapter 4. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. We bless you for who you are. We appreciate your word. Appreciate the privilege of being your church. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide us and show us how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. After tonight, I would hope that, as always, we have a firm grip of who we are as the church, what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I say it every week, and I try to reiterate that we get over, you know, all the thoughts that we have already. I know we've been talking about soul wounds. Some of us got a lot of church soul wounds. We got to get over those things that we think the church is about and actually start being the church. Where you find it is in Jesus. Where you find it is in the Word. A lot of the religion and rhetoric and regulation and law and all these different things that we do are a lot of man-made things, and they never lead to Jesus-like results. That's what we're looking for as a church, amen? Mm-hmm. And so we have to look at that. We have to get over that. Hopefully tonight, well, we have a deeper understanding. After tonight, we have a deeper understanding of what we're supposed to do concerning ourselves and what we're supposed to do concerning our fellow man. So Ephesians 4, I won't get ahead of myself. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start off verse 1 again. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Let's read. Verse 1, ready, read. I therefore, we're going to start again. I want y'all to read like the church. All right? You understand when I say read like the church? Together? All right, amen. Ready, read.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbear one another in love, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers.
Stop. Now, so the verse 11, read it again.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers.
In that scripture, we can see order, right?
Yes, sir.
When you have order, one of the main things about order, you have first, second, third, fourth, fifth, in order. You know, you can put things in alphabetical order, but when there's order, you go from the first to last. So now we see in verse 11, it goes in order. What's the first thing it says?
Apostles.
And we keep going, keep reading. So now we see order. It's in chronological order, but it shows us what comes first. All right, we see that. All right, but then verse 12 shows us some order too. Read verse 12. One, two, three. Verse 12, just verse 12. We'll get to tell we all. We'll get to tell we all in a second. Verse 12. Read it again. What's number one? Number two? Number three? Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what kind of man?
Perfect man.
perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In verse 14, he begins to elaborate on your perfection. Read it. Verse
Make it underline,
highlight whatever you're using. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Underline that. I want you to jump up back to verse 15. If you have it underlined, just double underline it or highlight it or something. Verse 15, just two words. I just want you to underline grow up. Matter of fact, circle it. Grow up. Everybody say grow up. Grow look up. At your neighbor, tell them grow up. Grow look up. At the other one. If you ain't got another one, look at me. Say grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up. Let's jump back to verse 12. You see order in verse 12. And the reason he gave us the gifts, the apostles, the pastors, evangelists, teachers, and prophets, right? The reason he gave us all those things for verse 12, what's the first thing he gave it to us for? Now, what does it mean to be perfected?
To mature.
To mature. We use the word perfect wrong. I always say this. I love to say it because we slink by our words, or we are justified by our words. We are condemned, and we use words wrongly. When you use words, let me a little side journey. Whenever you're preaching, whenever you're using words, study the word to find out what the word means before you begin to slang it like doctrine. I think we've gotten so far off in every wind of doctrine because we're saying stuff that we hear and we don't search it out. We're preaching things that have been preached to us, but we have not studied a word to show ourselves approved. So now we're echoing something that we don't even understand. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody going to be perfect. Jesus was the only one perfect. Well, I beg to differ because he said perfecting of the saints. There's another scripture that herein is our love made perfect. Now, he wouldn't tell me to shoot for this perfect love if I couldn't get there. Right? See, what you're considering is flawlessness. You never be flawless. But flawlessness and perfection are the same thing. Because perfection has to do with purpose. Perfection has to do with maturity. When you hear perfection, perfecting, it's saying, I'm growing you up. So when he's talking about what the first one is, what the first one? It's order now, right? What's the first one? The perfecting of the saints. You a saint, right? Are you a saint? So the perfecting of the saint, that you will grow up. That will grow up. Now, I'm going to tell you how to grow up because we think grow up is one thing, but it's really not. I'll teach you how to grow up in a minute. The first thing he gave us the order and the government for was to grow up. What we do? What's the next one? After perfecting the saint, what's the next one? We want to go work in the ministry. We want to bring, what's the next one? Edify, we want to bring the body together. But you can't do work in the ministry and you can't bring the body together until you grow up. Come on, church unusual. Until we grow up, until we can grow up and start being perfected and being what God has called us to be. The church as a whole is like a big kid that's not handling its responsibilities. It's like a big child that a child has got a man body, but don't want to do nothing with yourself. Ain't nothing worse than a grown person that ain't doing nothing. Like, can you imagine, like you yourself right now? And I'm not talking about if something may happen to you, or maybe you know down in a certain way. But I'm talking about right now, you just move around, able to get around, and you just don't want to clean yourself. Everything consistent. I'm not saying you have anything that's going wrong with you. You don't have any, you know, mental deficiencies or anything like that. You just don't want to clean yourself. You just won't get up to go. You just don't want to go to work. You just don't want to do the things. You don't want to drive yourself nowhere. You don't want to get dressed up. You just don't want to do it. Right? Ain't nothing worse than seeing a grown person like that. Ain't nothing worse than seeing a person that's able, and this, a lot of times what we see is, ain't nothing worse than seeing a person that is able to be victorious but just don't want to do it because they don't want to grow up. So we as the church, the first thing he says is for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, he's saying, saints, you're acting immature. The body of Christ as a whole is a grown, if you look at it, well able, if you count the numbers of how many people are Christians, we got enough to get it done. So why ain't nothing happening? Y'all ever ask yourself that? These are questions that I ask myself, and they begin to guide my study time. All right, I don't sit there and act like everything's okay because I see the world. All right, so it guides my study time, and God begins to show me some things because I can't, if this over here don't add up with this over here, then something's wrong in the middle. Right. You get it? Yeah. Like it's like making wages and putting in a bag with holes in it. Right? Right? You got to consider your ways. You have to consider your ways. Now, it's not, it starts on the individual point, like, because I can't control anybody else. You know, we have times to minister to people, but it starts at an individual point. But as a whole, we have to consider our ways individually and as a unit. Right. Consider your ways individually, but then consider how your ways are with your brother or your sister. Everybody say, grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, say it again. Say, grow up.
Grow up.
So now the first thing he gave us government for, now I got to say, because verse 11 was in chronological order. So I got to say verse 12 is in chronological order. So it wasn't just to get to work. One of the main problems is too many people go and start works without being perfected. A lot of times, there's a lot of people that leave here and they leave early. I don't question whether God has called somebody to do something. Sometimes people have gifts. That's not for me to question, but I can tell perfection. I can tell maturity and immaturity. Well, how do you tell? How did you find out when you became a mature adult? Uh-oh. How did you find out when it was time for you to be able to be responsible for some other things? I remember when I got my license, I was 15. When I was the time you just get to 15, I was 15 when I got my license, but I had to pass some tests. I had to do some things. And I had to, my father bought me a car. Praise God for that. That was my first car. I love that color, little red car, the peanut butter top. Amen. Back over there. And he got me a car, but he let me just go. The weekend, he just let me go. Wasn't bothering me about nothing, but I had proved some things before then. There was a level of maturity. He knew there were some things that I wasn't going to do. He knew some places I wasn't going to go. And he knew that when he told me to be home, I was going to be there. The level of maturity. So I couldn't be promoted without being perfected first. No perfection, no promotion. Can we see why the church as a whole is not in the place that it should be? Huh? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That we're looking for promotion. Everybody wants to graduate, but nobody wants to pass the test. And this is why we've got teachers. This is why we've got these people, the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and evangelists. This is why we have them to show us how to grow up. See, the reason that they are in the place that they are because they've been perfected. The reason that Apostle Thompson can be Apostle Thompson. We did an interview last week with one of the ladies that was here. She's been here since the beginning. Ms. Audrey Price and her daughter Gwen, they've been here since the beginning, since dad came in. It's a real great interview. One day I'm going to get a chance to show y'all different things they were saying or why they were calling for him to come preach, different things of that matter. But she said, you know what? She said, one of the things that impressed us the most when he came, she said, our church was out of order. And when he came, he brought order. She said, you know, he was clean too. You know, he was dressed. You know, he said he came to church. They had another guy had boots on, and they said, don't ask the guy that got the boots on to come pastor. Ask the other guy. He dressed a little better, right? You know. But did he say he came and brought order? I probably believe, and I told Apostle. I did some research on Apostle Paul one time, and they said, you know, we know the story. But when we started hearing about him, he was killing Christians, right? But when God started using him on the road to Damascus, God started using him. I did some research. They say he's in his 30s. You know, apostle that pastor when he was 31. 30, 31. And I'm prone to believe he's been an apostle since then. It's order. He's pastored apostolically. You know, let me tell you something about a pastor. The pastor is usually real friendly. You get over on him a little bit. You hear, okay. He kind of for the people right there. But then when the apostolic pastor brings order, right? And he's been that way since I've been here for sure. Since you've been knowing him too, huh? It's been order. But I think the people couldn't handle it at the time. They couldn't handle apostle. They didn't know what apostle was. We thought apostle was a sent one for so many years. We thought apostle was one to just go start churches. For years, we had no idea what government was. Order. Everybody say order.
Order.
Come on, say it again. Say order.
Order.
Now see, my father, let me tell you something from a spiritual son, but then a physical son. There's always been order. Did I like it all the time? No. Huh? Was I crazy enough to be a rebel? No. It was always order. Not hardness. Right? Not persecution. You know what I'm saying? Or abuse. But a stern order. Because he knows that if them trees start growing, they grow the wrong way, they slap that 2x4 on the side of it. And then that thing will frame it up and make it grow in the way. Train up a child in the way. And when they're older, they won't. You get it? So you train up the church in the way it's supposed to go. And when it's older, it won't depart from it. That's why you have, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Ministry school? Are y'all ready? That's why you have so many people that can't stand government. You know what I'm saying? They can't stand order and submission. They don't want to stay there long enough. God, I'm not even questioning you whether God didn't call you to do something. But just because he called you don't mean you equipped or perfected for it yet. So then God put a man in front of you to perfect you. See, when you perfect a plant, or when you're really trying to get it to grow, you got to purge it sometime. You can't purge it with a handkerchief. You can't purge it with a cotton ball. You got to take them blades out and begin to cut. And cut things off. Iron sharpens iron. You got to cut. And sometimes you got to bleed. But it's all to grow up. It's all to grow up. Because when you grow up, then when it's time for you to step out into life, into what you're supposed to be doing, it won't take you by storm. I've seen a lot of people go to college, and some of the young kids go to college, and they hadn't been prepared for it. So they're not prepared, and so it take them by storm. It's just, like, it's a whole nother thing, because nobody perfected them. You get it? So now take them by storm, throw them for a loop, to come back, they don't know who they are, right? Because there's no perfection. And so many times in ministry, you step out, you graduate, and then you step out, right? And you hadn't been perfected. And now it take you by storm. Now it just don't take you by storm, it take you, your wife, your children, all the people that say they're with you, it take all of them by storm because you weren't perfected. So the author says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing, he said mature, for the maturing of the saints, for them to grow up. He proved it after that because he says that we henceforth be no more, look, verse 14, no more what?
Children.
And how does he describe children? Look at it. Tossed to and fro and cared about whatever wind of doctrine and a slight of man, the cunning craft, and whereby they lie and wait to the sea. So they sitting there planning out things. They come up with every little thing and you jump on the boat because you don't know the difference. Gullible. Green, they just call them green. Wet behind the ears. Huh? And you don't know what's going on because you haven't been perfected. See, the whole goal, the whole point, why you here, you should know when you come here to this class, you should know when you go to your next class, you should know when you go to your last class, when you come here tomorrow, that you're looking for perfection. That's why I want you to not stop saying ain't no, you can't be perfect. Shut up. Stop saying that. Fix that in your mind not to say that no more. Because the goal is, that's what it's for the perfecting of the saints. If you keep on talking about, ain't nobody perfect, what are we doing? Our goal is perfection. Our goal is perfection and maturity. Lord told me a long time ago, perfection has to do with purpose. This pen may not be a perfect pen to you because it may not be flawed to you because you don't like the color. But it's a perfect pen because it does purpose. You can say what you want about how it looks, but it's a perfect pen. Because it's fulfilling the purpose. Are you understanding me? And so now for me to be perfected, for me to grow up, that means I'm growing up and I'm learning how to fulfill my purpose as the church. I'm learning what I'm supposed to do as the church. I'm learning what's my grown-up duties. You get it? What am I supposed to do? Now that I'm growing up, what is my purpose? Many people don't know their purpose because they don't get perfected. Many people don't know what they're doing because they don't let somebody perfect them. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may what? You should have it circled in there. What it up? What you doing? Grow up how? Who's him that is? What's him that is? We ain't talking. He ain't mention nobody else. Paul ain't in there. Moses ain't in there. Job ain't in there. Come on. What him that is? Him, right? Him. That you may grow up. How? In him, in all things. So now, hold on, so now, I'm prone to believe with that statement that if I don't grow up in him, I ain't really growing up. Ain't nowhere else to grow up but into him. That's the trick that the people in the world are falling for. They think they grown and they think they can grow up into something else. There is nothing else to grow up but into him. In how many things? Oh. And then now we got the whole body fitly joined together in compact, but there which every joint supply according to the effectual work and the measure of every part make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Then it goes on talking about vanity and having your understanding darkening and you're doing up your greediness and passing. But you ain't so learned Christ. Verse 20, I know I'm going fast. Verse 20, you should have heard him and talk about him. But the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, put off verse 22, put off the former conversation of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. It's trying to tell you that old man is that immature man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? That old man is the child in you. So now, growing up. So now being perfected. It goes over and over again, this whole chapter. We cannot go to the work of the ministry. We won't bring the body of Christ together. We won't bring the miracles together. We won't bring the signs and wonders. We won't bring deliverance. We won't feed the hungry. We won't heal the brokenhearted. We won't be able to do those things until you become perfected. Until you grow up. Now, I was sitting in church the other day. I was listening to a song that I had written, right? And I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to the words. And the way that God will give me songs sometimes is I'll sing them, and sometimes I don't know the direction. I think I know the direction, but I don't really know. And then I'll finish it, and then months later I'll come back and hear it, and he start opening it up for me. He'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, oh, this is what you were talking about. Oh, this is what you mean. All right, so I get it. And I get a deeper revelation of what I was saying, right? But I was sitting there. So yesterday I'm listening to a song before church, and I'm listening. And I realized that if your soul, the condition of your soul is a translation. Listen to me. And if your soul is not conditioned in a certain way, listen to me, I'm going somewhere. If your soul is not conditioned in a certain way, then no matter who preaches or what they preach, if your soul, for example, is conditioned for me, and I'm trying to get my needs met, then everything that the apostle preached, you're going to think that's just for you. You're not going to think about the people on side of you, the people down the street, your family members. You think about you and your foe and no more because of the conditioning of your soul, though. Now the message may be much deeper. I wonder why I sit in church sometimes and the word will come out, boom, and it hit me. I said, whoa, and I stand up because it hit me like that. And I look at other people sitting next to me. I look at people around me. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? What? That didn't hit you like that? You mean you could take that one sitting down? You mean that didn't make you scream? Okay, but it's soul conditioning. I got a group of young people I'm working with right now. We're reading books, and I'm pushing the issue. I'm pushing the issue. Read the book. Listen to the tapes. Read the book. Listen to the tapes. Change your soul. Because if you don't change your soul, you can't go deeper. If you don't change the way that your soul translates things, children sometimes, I got two sides of children. Children sometimes are very selfish. True or not true? A lot of times, and there's different types of children. A lot of times, the type of child depends on, right? But a lot of times, children I'm not sharing nothing. No, you can't have that. No. My toy. Right? Yes, sir. No, this is my candy. Mm-hmm. Ain't no sharing this candy, right? And me, what I want. Well, if your soul is made that way, then every time you hear a message, you don't see the bigger picture.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Immature, mm-hmm. Non-perfected, stops with you. Because of your soul conditioning. Because of your soul conditioning. Your soul will translate. You hear a song and you think it's about you. Ha ha ha! I bet you think this song is about you. They got a song. You're so vain. I bet you this song is not about you. Listen, could you hear it? And I'd be wondering why you can't hear it, but I realize that some people just can't hear. Hearing, but they can't hear. That's what he's talking about. Seeing, but you can't see. You can't see no deeper. You can't hear no deeper because you haven't been perfected by somebody that's deeper. Somebody that's heard the deeper things. You heard, you let them prune your ears. You let them cut some of that stuff off of your soul. You let them cut some of them scales off your eyes. You know, about talking about the scales fell off his eyes. You can see. Cut the scales off your eyes so that you can see deeper than what you see already. Clearly what you see right now ain't enough. Clearly what we're hearing. So now it's transfer. So now grow up. So now the condition of my soul determines what I pick. And I found out that many people, we've been so conditioned to get our needs met. At church, we thought we come to church and the pastor's supposed to meet our needs. And we thought we were coming to get, we come in to take our notes and underline, you know, our scriptures, right? So that we can change our lives. But if you, and I know the process of it is your life will be changed and other people will be changed. A blessing make you a blessing, right? I understand that. But if your soul is conditioned just to stop there, then it stops there. And now you're conditioned just for you, and now you're missing the grown-up purpose. Amen. Now the saints can never be perfected, was now that we can't even go to the work of the ministry. You know what the work of the ministry is, huh? The work of the passing it out. The work of the passing the perfection out. The work of the ministry is administer. Pass it out. The work of the passing it out. The work that it takes to pass it out. And then to bring it all in, to build up the body. We can't even get over there because we're not growing up past us. Are y'all with me? The greatest thing, and I'm just going to touch on this, and I'm sure there's many more, but one of the greatest things, when I was little, you know, one of the, another thing that a lot of times little kids do is we tattletale. You know tattletale? And my mother used to tell me, stop tattletaling, right? Now, it's not nothing wrong with saying that something's wrong, right? But a lot of times when you're a kid, you just start pointing at everything. You point at everything somebody else doing and everything that they're doing is wrong, and you see if it worked at one time, you're going to keep saying the stuff and you're eventually going to be saying it to get your way. Right? Some of y'all was tattletales. Come on, amen. Come on, we grown. I don't remember that. No, yeah, you remember. You remember tattletale. At least you're looking at mom. I tattletale, right? And so my mother would say, stop. And it'll be cool sometimes, but I used to tell them, for about 7 years, I was the youngest when my younger brother came. It was a shock for me at the time, right? But I was the youngest for a while, and so I would be telling on stuff that was true and wasn't true. But I always had to come in and say something because I eventually started realizing that I was a baby, I'm going to get away with it, and I'm going to tell on you. My mama told me one day, and that's when maturity kicked in, that's when I knew it was over with. Stop tattletelling. What else am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do with my life. That's what I've been doing all day long. Grow up, stop telling on them. I found out one of the quickest ways to maturity, and I'm going to give you one tonight that you can do. A lot of times you think you're interceding for people and you ain't. Ho-ho! That's a tough one to take on. I prayed for them. That ain't in the seed. Uh-oh, my child got new doctrine. Uh-oh, where you going, Reverend? I found out that, and then we don't have to go there, but Jesus made a statement, you the works that I do, so you do also. And he said, you have the power to forgive sins. Never understood that till I understood that, right? But many times we got to grow up with tattletelling instead of standing in the gap for somebody. See, judging people is immature. No, improper judging. Judging is not bad. If you be a righteous judge, it's not bad. But improperly judging somebody is a sign of imperfection. It's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of you not growing up. Now, I'm not saying all. I'm not saying somebody acting a fool in church, you're going to tell a pastor so they can get together. That's not what I'm saying. But many times we tell on people and we don't speak for people. I've always been that type of person. Well, I've been like this, and I don't know where I got this from. I just been like this, you know, in my maturity. I just been like this. Like, I always try to cover for somebody. I never try to out them. You know, if it come down to it, and the pressure get on, then I gotta let you have it. Like, yeah, it was you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm always trying to cover. We work in the staff. Anybody in the staff know me. When something go wrong, I'm the first hand up. I could have not even had my hand in it, but I'm gonna take that lick, cause it's always a cover thing. Like, I'm looking out. And I found out that we can do that for our brothers and sisters. Did you know that you can ask for forgiveness on behalf of your brother? You can repent on the behalf of your brother and your sister. When last time you did it? Quiet in the house. Right? But we interceding, though. So this is what we thought interceding was. Come here, Doug. This is what we thought interceding was, right? Stand right there. And just like you are. This is what we thought interceding was. This is how we intercede. Y'all ready? I'm going to teach you how to grow up. Y'all want to grow up? This is how we intercede. And Doug, put your face down like you got something going wrong. Right? This is us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless him. We praying for him. Huh? It's like a good thing, ain't it? Yeah, we about to pray for him. And Lord, help Doug. We from a distance. Now, we ain't too close. But Lord, pray for Doug. And pray for him and bless him. He's still going through it now. You ever pray for somebody and their life don't change? I'm going to teach about it. Huh? You ever pray for somebody and life ain't changed? Okay. All right. Bless Doug. He's still like he is, right? And so now we get a little closer. Lord bless Doug, and you know, we're praying for him, right? But we're praying for him instead of praying for him. Wow. He can't pray right now. He's down. He's out. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the problem is. Maybe he's dealing with something right now, and he don't know. He ain't got the maturity right now to say, Lord, forgive me. I repent right now. So I'm going to stand in. You know what I'm going to do? Intercede. Lord, just on his behalf until he can realize what's going on. When the last time? Thank you, Doug. When the last time? Big brother fighting for little brother. Little brother keep getting beat up every day. Well, it's not going to happen too often. If I can get over there, it's going to go down. Huh? When the last time? That's good. Praise the Lord for that. Keep doing that too. But in the midst of your intercession, because you know, there's somebody interceding for us right now. There's a couple people interceding for us right now. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. He's standing in the gap, interceding on our behalf. He's saying something that we don't know how to say. Oh, there's another one, Jesus, right now, making intercession for the saints. Now you think Jesus down there doing like this? Because where he at? Where Jesus at? He right inside the Father. Where else he at? Oh! Oh, so right now he's on the inside of you right now, being ready to speak for you when you don't know the words to say. Are y'all understanding me? That's when we pray in the Holy Ghost. You build up yourself on your most holy faith. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the most holy one right there. Jesus, faith is the most holy faith you're going to get to. Do y'all get what's going on? So, but I grow up. I stop tattletelling and pointing at people and saying they wrong and saying what's wrong with them. Look at them, Jesus. Look at them. And this and this and that. No. Pray on their behalf. When's the last time that you prayed on somebody's behalf and said, Lord, I'll teach you to, can I show you what Jesus been beat and stabbed and cussed and spit on and a crown of thorns on his head and then falsely accused. Do y'all realize that they had Jesus and they had Barabbas? Who was a known murderer. He hadn't opened no blind eyes. He hadn't healed nobody. He ain't raised nobody from dead. He ain't feed nobody. He was a bona fide taker. And these people looked at Jesus, the same people that he was healing their children and even healing somebody else. And I'm prone to believe that a lot of them were the people that he fed that day. And these people looked him in his face and said, give us Barabbas. Sometimes that hurt more than the knife. Peter go over there and deny him three times. You my dog. You my boy. You the one said you had a revelation of who I was. Why are you going to deny me? It had to happen, I understand. But wow, like the agony for your best friends to walk off. Look in your face and say, I don't know you. The beating and they said, I read the scripture the other day, and Jesus, they asked him a question, he answered back and slapped him. Don't be talking to the leader like that. These people. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you gotta go in and see what's really going on. Them people right there. And he on the cross. It's about to be over with. Right? As far as that part of it, right? We knew it didn't end there, praise the Lord, right? But yeah. But he on the, and it's he bleeding. They gambling for his clothes. Ain't nobody there around there to help him out. Nobody looking for him. And he got the audacity to use some of his last breath. Glory. It'd have been us. It'd have been us. Come on, y'all. Don't do that right now, man. We growing up. Everybody say growing up. Come on, we growing up. I gotta grow up past that, Jesus. Like, I gotta. That get passed because I don't know. I would have been up there. I might have been like, I might have. That's if I stayed up there, because you know he had the power to come down.
Right.
Now for me, I probably would have came down. Like I halfway through the beating, I probably wouldn't have made it. He hit me a couple times and it's like, all right, now I know. Like I know I can whoop this dude. Like I know he can't beat me. Right? So you got to realize what Jesus really went through. It's maturity. It's perfection. It's the perfect sacrifice. He couldn't go off because it would have been sin. He couldn't spaz out because he'd have been going against what he teach. They slap you on one side, turn the other one. See, I read in a book the other day, and this powerful statement said, what made Jesus' words and messages so clear and so precise, and what made it stick home so much was that when he preached it, then he did it. The fact that this man would give his life and live, he personified his words. He made his word, like the word became flesh. That was really the word made flesh right there. They should go a mile with him, go two. They sue you for your coat, give him your cloak. Huh? Be mindful how you treat your adversary when you're in the way with them. Huh? All those different things. We don't observe those. We need to observe those. Be mindful of those things. What we've been taught to do is try to protect ourselves when we can. Got the audacity, last breath. We got the last one. On his last set of breaths, he's going to say, Father, forgive them, for they just don't know what they're doing. Sound like Doug just now. He in that position right now because he don't know what he's doing. He's in that place of distress because obviously he didn't know what he was doing. Father, forgive him because he don't know what he's doing.
That's good.
Stop counseling Doug and telling Doug, you're dirty for this and that and that and that. And that. When the last time you did this and that and that and that, all right? Somebody stood in the gap for, So instead of pray for him, maturity. You got the power to forgive sins. Y'all get me? Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Maturity. Everybody say maturity.
Maturity.
If we can grow up like that and start to be like that for our brothers. And I'm not saying Doug don't need a good talking to. I'm not saying that. Don't be ignorant. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you don't turn them in when they violate church policy. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is stop pointing the finger so much and stand in the gap. That's maturity. That's real Jesus-like maturity. And the scripture says in Ephesians 4, until we grow up, well, into him, in how many things?
All things.
Y'all get that? Yes. Is that clear to you? Yes, sir. Come on, the part about growing up. Come on, I want to know. It's class right now. I want to know, is it clear to you?
Yes, sir.
That as the church, we've got to grow up into Jesus. And growing up into Jesus, one part of it, it's several parts, but growing up into Jesus means, Father, forgive them. Speak on their behalf. Next time you see a problem, you see something going on TV, we like to talk about things more than we go to God about it.
That's good.
Speak on the behalf. Maybe that's why things didn't change. Maybe because you're just not interceding. Can you see? Question before I go. Can you see the deficiency in your prayer?
Yeah.
Y'all see, like it's not like I didn't even do that one. Like that's what I'm trying to learn. Like I didn't even try that one. Right? Like I tried everything. After doing all the stand, I didn't even. Right? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.